The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord. When I was ordained a priest, I also served as a master of ceremonies for Bishop Keating when he would go from parish to parish to celebrate confirmations. He had three homilies which he had memorized and would rotate them so that you wouldn't get the same homily one year after the next. But if you're a master of ceremonies, you hear each one of them many times. I imagine Jesus having this great homily, which was probably the message he took on the road this year with his disciples, the Beatitudes. The people who heard the Sermon on the Mount may or may not have been aware of the Sermon on the Plain or any of the other many places where Jesus probably preached this message. But they were similar with the changes you might make as you preach and develop your theme. This is a core message found in all the Gospels, how difficult it is to be rich and enter the kingdom of heaven. You remember the story of the rich young man? It says he goes away sad, but it doesn't say he doesn't come back. Many scripture scholars, in fact, think that this particular young man who was wealthy might have been St. Mark, who later became the evangelist, somebody who had probably followed Jesus for a long time. He would have been educated, so therefore he could have been an evangelist. There was a rich family who provided Jesus and the apostles with an upper room. Some scholars think that might have been Mark. There's a young man that shows up again in the garden as Jesus is arrested, and he runs off into the night. According to this gospel, if he's there, he has not yet gathered the courage to ask the central question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He goes away sad for a time. And I think of St. Mark when I hear this gospel because he was probably there listening. His was the earliest unembellished gospel of the four. He was not a theologian as such, but his main theme throughout the gospel is the obligation that we have to the poor. So today we have a simplified version of the Sermon on the Mount we hear in St. Matthew's gospel. And Luke adds the woes as a parallel reality. If you are satisfied with what you have and always focus on what you have, you may never realize that there is more. What might be possible and so much greater, for instance, discipleship with Jesus. And if Mark was grappling with selling everything he had and giving it to the poor, he would have heard this sermon. The poor will inherit the kingdom, everything, The hungry will be satisfied. You who are weeping will laugh. And if they hate and exclude you on account of the Son of Man, your reward will be great. But Luke includes the next part of Jesus' homily that Matthew doesn't. And it's pretty edgy. Woe to you, rich. This is all you might get because you won't look for more. If you are filled now, you will be hungry because food only satisfies for a time. If you laugh now, you eventually will grieve and weep. There's a similar theme in the first reading today when the prophet Jeremiah says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in created things, whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Like a tree planted beside the waters that fears not the heat when it comes, in years of drought, it shows no distress." Two other texts from the Gospel of Matthew come to mind, two of my favorites, where Jesus says, "If you give even so much as a cup of water to one who is thirsty, you surely will not lose your reward." And then Christ the King at the throne of judgment, he says, "Whatever you did not do for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did not do for me." Do we make the poor a priority in our life? Do we identify generosity in our heart for those who have need? As a parish, what is our commitment to the poor? How do we identify such a charism as a community? It's always been my vision for the parish to expand our outreach. And hopefully now, with the good news of our new building moving forward, this will facilitate the ways in which we reach out to the wider community. If we could, would we not turn then to the hungry, the weeping, the poor? Sorry. So what I don't often have a chance to print in the bulletin are the constant thanks that we receive from the many institutions and organizations in our area. We have constant thank yous from ECHO, and we have our Canon Week ministry, which provides weekly support. We have the St. Lucie Project, 4 drives per year. We always break the record when we have these food drives. Each year, you are more and more generous. But it does seem like we're constantly asking for more, and I don't particularly like doing that either. But this is who we are required to be. We are considered one of the most generous parishes in the diocese. Our approach to poverty as a people must go beyond a concept, however. It is people who are poor and in need. They are our brothers and sisters, and we might not often see their face in what we do. A couple of weeks ago, the Office of Migration and Refugee Services from Catholic Charities came and did a presentation about what it's like to be a refugee. These were for our children who are candidates for confirmation next year. One of the MRS staff spoke of his experience as a child in a refugee camp coming out of Afghanistan and the difficult journey his family made to come here. Our confirmation candidates gathered all the baby items that you donated a few weeks ago and gave them to 12 Afghani families resettled by Catholic Charities. Each of the 12 are having a new baby. This past week, I attended a panel discussion at Georgetown University on Catholic social teaching on migration and mass deportation. With federal funding frozen, our Catholic Charities Migration and Refugee Services is at real risk. They have no funding. I get daily appeals from Catholic Relief Services, CRS, whose appeal yesterday was for safe housing for people in Ukraine and 8,000 people in Vietnam with disabilities whose aid has been halted as well. It can be too easy as a pastor to simply respond to a request for aid simply by saying, here is the number for Catholic Charities, call them. Is it perhaps better then, as Jesus tells the rich young man, beyond turning to the poor, to become the poor, the hungry, the weeping, ourselves? I'm not talking about taking a vow of poverty. Wealth is a very important thing in our world, and it is necessary for the advancement of peoples. But if the poor are the people of the promise, how do we change our hearts to live with less? Or at very least to make friends with the poor now so that they will be generous to us later. We have a number of different blessings that we can do at weddings, and my favorite blessing over the married couple at the end of the wedding mass, it goes like this. May you always bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that the afflicted and those in need will find in you generous friends and welcome you into the joys of heaven.